Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
KeithandtheGirl.com/album. My new album, album number 14, entitled Awake, is available for pre-sale on iTunes. If you did plan on ordering it, please order it now. The pre-sale really is a big deal.
Don't wait.
You're friendly every single year. I appreciate it. And thanks again ahead of time. Today's guest, featured on Viceland's Flophouse, appeared on Comedy Central's This Is Not Happening, Split Cider. They got to change that. But I guess that's the joke, right? Split Cider, the list of 2016's best late night stand-up sets, went to this woman. Appeared in the Just for Last Montreal Comedy Festival, Limestone Comedy Festival, Bridgetown Comedy Festival, your family's comedy festival.
She's very festive.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kate Willett. How you doing?
Hey, guys.
Kate, it's exciting to see you.
It's exciting to be here.
Now, Henda saw you fairly recently.
Yeah.
So good.
You were naked.
A naked comedy show. Oh. That's true. It's a tradition of the Creek in the Cave. Well, I guess it's been a few different venues, but yeah.
Yeah, you were amazing.
But, oh, thank you so much.
I realize I'm gushing over this before the show. I'm like, oh my God, you were so good. I loved it. I'm like, mwah, it was amazing. And then I'm like, wait, I just said all that. And it's a naked show. And I didn't realize that that could be, you know, taken completely one way or another. But
oh, I didn't think you were talking about my boobies. Okay. It never occurred to me that that was what was going on.
That's good.
I thought you liked the jokes. Because okay, my boobies good. Are just okay. I mean, they're fine.
I mean, I thought everything was great.
Are you fully naked?
Yeah, it's a naked comedy show. And I think about that, like, it's kind of weird because I wonder what sort of person is really into going to a naked comedy show. Like, I understand people who want to see naked people.
Right.
But I don't understand the desire to see naked people do comedy.
Ah, shit, I feel like I have to say something.
You went.
Yes.
So what prompted you to go to the naked show?
Well, I wanted to support Han, who's been, you know, doing a bunch of work for us. And I thought that was really cool. I like watching her. I like
and
that.
And her resume, she didn't put naked pictures. I mean, so what are we going to do?
Well, I knew a few people on the lineup and I actually don't want to see anybody naked, especially since I'm working with them. But at the same time, I'm just like, well, what's going to be the difference? And also, there's going to be a difference. I want to learn what that difference is. I want to know, I guess I wanted to know the same thing. Why would I come to this show? And it turns out there is an element. There is something.
Yeah, there is.
There's something different about it. I definitely looked at everybody's body, but it changed how the comedians reacted to just being on stage. And I thought that was like my present. Do you know what I mean? Like that, like you guys did your set, but you also added something because you were naked and I got to see that special show. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to do it just because I thought it would be a really weird experience.
Yeah.
And there's never a time when somebody offers me the opportunity to have a really strange experience that I really say no to it. So...
And so that's
cool.
Do you get into a lot of experiences because of this?
Yeah. I mean, it's harder and harder to find new things, you know, but
good for you. Yeah. That's a fun life.
Yeah.
I'm working on a goat fucking live show. I don't know.
I mean, look, there's, you know, I try to stay within reasonable limits, but you know,
what's different?
Burning Man, psychedelics, travel.
Is this a dumb question? What's different in a comedian's head when they're on stage naked? Just that, oh my God, I'm naked?
Well, I don't
like know. Like, do you get some, like, do you learn something about yourself, about confidence?
I wasn't really.
Or it's just goofy. You're naked.
I thought it would be the first thing. I thought it would be really different, but it was more just goofy to be naked.
Okay.
Yeah. And also, it's a very body positive audience, too. Like, I feel like the show is about celebrating the differences in people's bodies. And there's men and women on the show, and there's men and women in the audience, and some of the audience members are naked. So it's more like, hey, let's all do a weird thing together versus like objectifying. I think that's important.
So I'm watching. I can just start taking off my clothes in the audience.
Not if you're going to say it like that. No. And then the eye contact is weird also. No. Let's be frank.
Nah, people,
I'm not looking at you.
People took off their clothes at the beginning if they wanted to. There was like a moment where everyone did it. They played some music.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can't do it at certain people.
No.
You can't take your clothes off at certain people. No.
It felt very silly the way that being naked does when you're a little kid or something like that. It was not a sexual vibe.
Does the MC yell and make the audience feel like pieces of shit like Hemda's doing right now? Okay, good.
No, and also I'm from California and San Francisco. It's like we're not too hung up on clothes. you know? It felt like being home for a moment, because I've been on the East Coast for like 3-4 months now, and that was the most California it's ever felt here.
That's a lovely statement.
I'm
not too hung up on clothes.
Have you seen people get kicked out of it for one reason or another?
The Naked Show?
Yeah.
I've only done it once, and no one got kicked out that night.
Okay. I understood a guy got kicked out once because he had an iPad with him, and people found that was strange.
Yeah, it's definitely no photography allowed. Right. Yeah,
I'd bring one of those old 1800 cameras with the flash. I can only take one picture, so yeah. I got to time it just right.
Yeah, that's the one bullet.
Do guys try to chub up backstage? Oh, do you ever catch them?
No, I mean, I only did it once, but everyone was really cool and mellow, and it wasn't creepy.
Okay.
No one was trying to fluff themselves.
No.
I would assume I would.
Oh, I didn't even know what you meant until she said fluff, then I got it. But
now did they?
No, okay. I don't think anyone did. I think someone was trying to get their nipples hard.
That's funny.
Yeah.
But Keith, you would like...
Of course I would.
You would? But how hard do you want to be on stage?
So that's, hard where...
But that's embarrassing, you know?
It's embarrassing to be hard?
Yeah, you're pointing forward while you're trying to chit-chat. What, am I going to listen to you or be like, what is happening?
I don't think anybody had a boner, no.
No one came close to a boner, no offense, but no.
All my jokes remind me about my boner.
Yeah.
It's intertwined.
They're all about baseball.
Yeah.
No, you know, I mean, that would be such a weird, specific fetish that you'd have to be able to get a boner in a naked comedy show.
How much time do you do?
10 minutes or something.
I can do that. Is it a turn on to be asked to be in the show? Or do they sometimes have unattractive people?
It's all types of people. Okay. Yeah, I think it's very much outside of the paradigm of what's attractive, or it's, you know, it's like, it's all attractive, but people's bodies look different than each other.
We're all different.
Yeah.
I don't even know why we have the word attractive and unattractive. You know what I mean? Everybody's attractive, just in different ways, some less.
But I don't think that it was about like sexualizing or objectifying people. It was more like, hey, let's all be human together.
Okay.
Are you, Keith, can you ever... be in a
room. I like that you keep acting like I'm a child about this.
Okay. It's not that I'm a child. It's that it's that I believe you that when a woman that you are attracted to is naked, that is like the first point and it's distracting and it is a thing and it's different. But it feels like you don't believe when somebody's like, it's naked. Everyone's beautiful. It's just a bag of, you know, wet flesh to me. It feels like you don't believe the other side.
No. Guys are all, you hear the Twitter accounts and the Facebook feeds and the women saying what creeps guys are. And then all of a sudden, though, for this show, everyone's cool. No one's trying to come out with a dick bigger than the next guy. I'm just shocked. It's very, sounds very healthy.
Well, I mean, the comedians on the show, you know, their mentality is like they have to go on stage naked. You know, they're not thinking about like, oh, how can I be creepy or how can I like try to
at
do
the end
it
of
with
a
someone?
Do you find guys are talking to you oddly after a show compared to when they would with a show with your clothes on?
Yeah, but oddly like, whoa, that took some guts. I don't know if I would do that. Not like, whoa, I saw your boobs. Cool.
Right.
Can I ask you if you would talk oddly? Like, would you, in your mind, I know you'd be
I'd
like,
I'd wear sunglasses the whole time, first off.
Would you feel weird? But I don't think you, I think if I could predict,
I think it's funny
you'd
that
feel weird, but you wouldn't project it or you wouldn't say it.
I wouldn't feel weird because you're the one doing this. Mm. But it's like saying, who did we have on? We had a porn star on, and I happened to be, I'm doing research, and I'm looking at all her porn, and she's doing, you know, supposedly fucking her own son, you know, this kind of thing. So she comes in, and we're talking about that, and I say, you know, it is a little odd that I just happened to see you getting ramrodded by two guys, and now you're sitting there, and we're talking normal, and she's like, oh, so you have a hang up on that? I'm like, don't act like I'm a weirdo. I just saw all this naked stuff, and now you're here. There is a dynamic to it.
There is a dynamic. There's also a vibe that you put out in the presentation of the difference between, isn't it odd that I just saw you have sex, or, hey, I just saw you have sex. It's cool that you're here. Like, do you know what I mean? I don't even know if those two are so different, but I think that's the difference.
But odd
in,
leads to,
hey, Keith, that's why we're looking at you that way, because you're presenting it somewhat childish when...
Because where does cool go to? Hey, it's cool that I just saw that in your hair at the end. But is it odd? Do you think whenever you do an interview,
taboo.
This person just jerked off to you and now you're talking?
Yes, that's taboo. right? So odd makes somebody feel like, hey, isn't
is odd another word we shouldn't be using?
No, it's a word that we should be using appropriately. If I'm describing what you're saying using the word odd and you find that I'm misrepresenting what you're saying, then maybe odd isn't the word that you're looking for.
This person's writing into feedback. Enough about the naked show.
Oh my, I'm so sorry. Let's talk about something else. In the news today. Am I making sense with that?
I think you're making sense. Yeah.
I think that probably being a porn star, that your life is just full of questions like that all the time and that you're probably sick of it. You know, like people always probably want to talk to you about the fact that they saw you have sex and you're like.
Right. But that's all you told me about yourself is that, you know what I mean? This person I'm talking about, that's all you gave me. So now I want to know what goes on the set. And you know, how out of control are the directors? Yes, these are going to be my questions. You can give me something else. We'll talk about cars.
Yeah, that's one where it's like, okay, this is one. Okay, so I'm going to now expect like tumor questions, trans questions, marijuana questions, podcast questions when I go to, if somebody's interviewing me, right? And so, yes, I expect that she would expect me to ask her about being a porn star. But there's a difference in how someone feels when you come at it with certain questions or a certain attitude. And then there's another feeling like somebody wants to talk more if they don't think that you think that they're odd. No.
You know what I think it's analogous to? It's like when we say that we're comics to people and they're like, oh, tell me a joke, you know? And there's a way that it's like, yeah, you know?
Yeah, but to me, it'd be like, you would ask, you know, maybe what is it like being a comic? Or do you get any sleep if you have a regular job?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And be like, I don't want to answer these questions. Well, I don't know anything else about you.
It's part of
it. But you know what? Okay. I wasn't at one of these shows yet. Apparently, I've grown up to do. You get the cream of the crop and everybody's mature and you go out there with no clothes. Whole audience is cool with it. Nobody's aware at all. Nobody's squeezing themselves. And then the show's over and it is what it is. What was it? That's just a thing. Okay. Now I know that. Okay. I get it. Now, how naked were you again? Very nice.
Super naked. Yeah.
How many nakeds are there?
There's
I was naked three times.
You ever see, remember, like they said, that Janet Jackson is naked on the cover. Well, there's a guy behind her covering her breasts.
Right.
I'm naked too.
You're naked in the arms.
Right now, I actually have on less than she did in that photo shoot. Thank you very much. Your stand-up, by the way, is very good.
Oh, thank you.
I've heard it with clothes on.
You were with clothes on or...
Don't worry. She had clothes on and don't worry about it. New York is a one-person consent state. Only one person has to have clothes. I don't know if you ever heard that. Comedy Central, this is not happening. You were talking about Burning Man.
Yeah.
And...
How many times have you been?
Four.
Yeah?
Yeah.
When was the first time?
2008.
Hmm. And did you go with a group?
Yeah, I went with some people that I knew from San Francisco. Yeah. And
were you specifically responsible for something, for trade or for
I think I was responsible for the cooking organizing. Like I was responsible to make sure that there was somebody to cook all the meals.
That's not bad.
Yeah. It was pretty fun.
That's cool. I get nervous. Like, you know, I feel like that's my kind of thing. Like to go there
to be a real hippie and have somebody cook all your meals.
Well,
no, I mean, but everybody cooked a meal, you know, everyone participating, but just someone had to make the little chart that said when people were making dinner, you know? Okay.
Yeah, I think I would love it, but I don't like that people take pictures there and that it could just be posted anywhere because I would like to, I like that about the naked show. Like if I'm going to put myself out there and believe that I'm free and we, like Keith said, are pretending like everyone's going to be cool with it, then we can't put it outside of this room because outside of this room, people are not going to be cool with it and it changes it.
Yeah, I mean... I don't know. It's kind of annoying that there's phones and stuff at Burning Man in general. There didn't used to be, you know? It used to be that there was no signal out there, but now there's just total internet.
I didn't even think of that.
Somebody said, is this Burning Man? You don't buy things with money per se, which I can't imagine there's anywhere on earth that happens, but okay. Instead, you trade some kind of service, for example.
No, you don't trade. People just bring stuff for themselves, and then if somebody needs something... Then they'll give it to someone.
Oh, whoever told me about this.
I think it used to be like that when it first started, but now it's just, you just bring your own stuff. And then if somebody needs something, then, you know, you can ask around.
They said like people would make a makeshift bar. Mm-hmm. And if you wanted a beer, they would go, Keith, for example, you would tell a joke. And I'm like, I'd rather die. I guess I don't drink during this trip.
I mean, people have like games like that and stuff like that. But for the most part, people just, you know, give stuff away. Or
it's like you're camping, I guess. Like, bring everything, but your neighbor will probably have matches if all of yours are watered down.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, sometimes people like specifically make stuff to give away. Like, people make like a bunch of waffles and pass them out to everybody for fun, but you don't have to.
See, these are the stories that make me want to go, waffles? You can't just get waffles walking down the street.
Yeah, but at Burning Man, you can.
And then you have to arm wrestle somebody for syrup because the whole thing.
It would more be mud wrestling, I imagine.
Is there a lot of sex?
At Burning Man? Yeah. I mean, if you want, if
again,
you want,
I don't want to debase the conversation.
If you want there to be, you know, yeah. I didn't have sex the last time I went at all. I didn't take any drugs the last time I went. I didn't have sex. Kind of just hung out with my friends. It sort of felt like a camping trip.
Okay.
With a lot of people, but you can get laid at Burning Man if you want to.
But the way you're saying it, why'd you slow down this last time?
Just
not in the mood.
Kind of just not in the mood. I mean, it's a big dusty desert. To me, it doesn't feel like the most erotic situation. You know, I like to shower and whatnot, hang out with other people who are fairly showered.
Are there like open tents and people are just fucking?
Not so much. I mean, like, have I seen that? Yes. Is that the main experience? No.
Do you like?
Well, he's trying to say when he walks around New York City, there aren't open doors to people's homes where he gets to see that.
Right.
So the fact that he gets to see it at all.
Does it happen? Is it a big thing? No. Do I always find them? Yes.
Yeah. It does sound like, you know, a big orgy fest where everybody's naked. And I think those are the pictures that leak that are more, you know, shared because it is the more outer experience, the more novel.
I definitely think like at Burning Man that people are a lot more, in general, like there's a freer attitude towards drugs and sexuality than
there
would be.
Have you had sex in a tent at Burning Man?
Yeah.
Okay.
You heard my story on This Is Not Happening. Yeah. The whole thing was about that.
And you came across a whole orgy.
I did. Yeah. There is an orgy tent.
It's an official orgy tent, or just somehow somebody always...
No, it's an official thing. There's like a sex-positive polyamory camp that has it in the...
And they just have it open.
So it is a thing.
Yeah.
It is a thing, but, you know, like, I've been to Burning Man 4 times. I went there one time because I thought, okay, let's try this out, you know?
Do you know if that area always has some kind of sex going on? Like, you can always walk in and participate?
Well, the thing, you gotta bring someone that you want to have sex with. Like, you can't just walk in and start screwing people.
Oh,
no.
I'm sorry
like,
to interrupt.
You go with somebody. Like, I went there with the guy that I was dating.
Oh, okay.
The same person's writing in that didn't want us to talk about. They would like more information on waffles. Yeah. It's really hard to read my audience sometimes. I'm doing my best. I don't know what to tell you. Waffles. Can you do an hour on that?
So you have to have a partner coming in.
Yeah, I think so. Mm. Yeah, you can't just go in there, no.
Can you swap, though?
If you want to, but you have to work that out with the people, you know, just like any sexuality.
You can't just rape them?
No. Okay. No, I mean, consent is the same rules as any other situation.
So it really is not a vacation.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, no.
So who's the person that you knew? It's your roommate, right?
Yeah, he was my roommate. Yeah, that situation ended pretty badly.
Now, when he's not good in bed, do you think, you know what, maybe it's just the situation. Maybe let's try again in our house.
We actually had been having sex in our house before then and after then.
Oh, so you were like, maybe the desert would be better.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was like, this was a few years ago now, but it's like we lived in a co-op in San Francisco, and there were 23 people that lived there. And we...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we were kind of casually dating, but casually dating your roommate, I'm not sure is the thing that works.
Right.
We had high hopes for it. We were like, oh, we're both going to be really mature about this.
Right.
And we weren't.
Yeah. You gave it a good try, it sounds like.
Yeah. Learned a lot. That's the most you can say. You know?
I feel like I would have that experience and say I'll never do it again, but I think I always know it's possible that I will, because sometimes I feel like you got to get through it. Do you know what I mean? Like, if if we keep acting like we're about to fuck, at some point, just do
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah. There's this, like, friend of mine that, like...
It's like a bad sitcom, you know?
Yeah, there's this friend of mine that, like, for, like, 5 years, like, every once in a while we'll hook up. And, like, every time we'll just be like, it's never happening again. Right. But then this time, this last time, I didn't even say that it's never happening. Because it's like, it might, you know? Yeah. Like, our track record is not good on this. But... I'm in a monogamous relationship now that I think has some staying power. So it might never happen again. Hopefully.
Well, that's different.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There are.
But like the one time I didn't say it's never happening again is the time that it probably won't.
Now, does this weirdo that keeps writing in know you? Because here I'm getting, is Kate in love now? If so, how's it affecting her act?
I don't know. Does this person know me? I don't really have any friends that hate sex and love waffles a lot. But
it says Kate's mother.
Oh.
We want to hear more about waffles and less about nudity.
Is it really my mom?
Yeah. Uh-huh, yeah.
Zastrozzi?
I don't think so.
Is that your mom's
from
name?
From California.
No.
Oh, then it's probably not your mom.
It is. Yeah, it is changing my act. I don't know. I mean, it's definitely a whole new experience. Like, I feel like on my last album, it was like a ton of material about dating and, you know, it's just like a lot of things that were a really big deal in my life.
Is it a shame you can't use your favorite jokes?
No, I mean, I can still tell any jokes I want to tell, you know, like, I mean.
You just make it in the past.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I've been in a relationship for a few months and I don't think I've totally figured out like what it is. Like what it means for comedy yet, because it's like we're still in that phase where we're really high on each other and everything feels really perfect and great, but
and that's not the funniest.
Yeah, that's not the funniest, and it's also like not what being in a relationship is really, you know, like when you get to know somebody, even if it's a great relationship, it becomes, you know, more mundane at some point, you know, and there's things about them that annoy you and you know, the
and
other
you look
way around.
Forward to that.
Yeah, I mean, I actually felt like this last time it was happening, I felt like falling in love felt a little traumatic, because, like in the like the truest sense of trauma, where it's just like this really disruptive occurrence that's like super jarring emotionally, because it's like, you know, in one moment your life is like a certain way and you're kind of going along, but then this thing happens that just massively shifts everything around, and then all of a sudden there's like another person that's part of all your plans and you just are feeling all these feelings, and it's settling down now, and that feels really nice to me, actually, that it's a little calmer.
That's fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It is fun.
Are you able to enjoy that, you know, not so real sort of feeling, even though you know this is a high?
Oh, yeah. It feels super fun, and he's super great, and I think that, you know, we have a lot of fun talking to each other and have a lot in common that feels like stuff that will be more sustaining. I mean, I guess I can't say for sure, but it seems like it.
Cool. Congrats.
Thank you.
Going back real quick, I missed this. Andrea, our own Andrea Allen, is saying, I had a lot of weird guys talk to me after those naked shows. Told me about my fat to muscle ratio. They're weirdos, so many. So thank you for being clear.
Oh, that sucks.
This whole room acting like I'm some baby. Now let's get to the orgy. Okay.
This is not going to please your listener who wants to hear about waffles. Yeah.
So almost like two waffles. You guys are mixing your syrup together.
Yeah, exactly.
You have sex in the orgy tent. So other people are having sex around you, right?
Yeah.
What do you remember his main move? Do you know what I mean? Like, is it from behind where everybody's, because I would be so self-conscious. Are you?
I don't remember exactly what, but I think it was pretty, I think what we were doing was pretty mellow.
Right.
Kind of classic missionary situation.
What's the most extreme thing you saw sex-wise there?
This one dude was on a leash and stuff, but, you know.
Right.
It made him seem like it was making him really happy. So, yeah. Good for him, man.
I like the way you make sure we're not shaming anybody. Yes. But he seemed good. Can you imagine this was her act that I saw? There's somebody with a leash and stuff. He seemed happy. In other news.
Yeah, it amused me.
She saw a hairy leather daddy bear fisting a woman while barking like a dog. Did she seem happy?
That was the guy that I was talking about.
Okay, right.
Wait, which one was barking?
The leash guy.
The one that was fisting or the one that was being fisted?
I think he was the one that was barking, yeah. Because he was on a leash. She was like a dog.
Right. And so I imagine he's the one getting fisted.
No. He was doing it to her,
oh.
I think.
Oh.
But I mean, I didn't watch too much, you know?
On my way to dinner.
Once you're allowed in the orgy tent, can you sit in the corner in a rocking chair and smoke a cigarette? If you bring the chair.
Okay. I don't know, man. This is a long time ago. Right. Yeah.
And just play with Barbies in your hand?
Keith, would you do this?
Would I sit in the corner and smoke a cigarette?
Well, okay, that also. Would you have sex in an orgy tent?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know about the desert, though. It's got to be so messy, like you're saying.
I mean, it was probably the cleanest place. That's how we settled on it because, you know, it was like a...
It was meant for it.
Yeah.
They had fur for carpeting.
Something like that, yeah.
Do you still believe, Kate, that short, fat, and ugly people try the hardest in bed? They have something to prove, right? They have to.
I don't know. I mean, that's...
Do you know anything about your act?
That joke out of context certainly sounds like... Right. Meaner than I meant it. I think that the joke that I was making there was like how this one guy was so physically attractive that he was like conceited about it and he wasn't really making an effort. And like, I feel like somebody's like actual like, you know.
Oh, I know.
Like how somebody is like physically is actually not like the thing that makes sleeping with them hot. Like you might as well just sleep with someone who's passionate and is gonna, you know, try. It doesn't matter what people look like.
Are you lucky now because the new boyfriend's ugly?
No, he's very cute.
I'm sorry.
He's very cute. He like happens to be cute though. That's not the main thing that I'm into about him. He is very cute though.
So we can check off both boxes.
Yeah.
All right. Good. I enjoyed this. You said you let people into your body that you wouldn't let into your apartment. Isn't that so the way?
I mean, it's weird because this stuff feels like kind of a long time ago now, you know? Like, there was a time that I was living like that probably, but...
Yeah, this is 2016.
Yeah.
Was this at the Burning Man when you had your pregnancy scare, and you ate 30 days worth of birth control?
I didn't really eat 30 days worth of birth control. I ate
there's a week that's fake.
Like 16, maybe 16 for real.
Oh my God.
It was a lot though, still.
Does that make it better? I mean, does that kill more? It can't, right?
I don't know that any of it does anything like that.
Because take two at a time then. You know what I mean?
Well, because I didn't
know
how much.
Doctor, I lost them.
I mean, Plan B is just a very high dose of birth control. And I wasn't sure how much the dose was. Some people were like, I think it's 4. And some people were like, I think it's 8. And I'm like, I'm going to take 16 and just make sure, you know? There wasn't internet, so I couldn't really research it.
Does that really work?
Yeah, that's what Plan B is.
Really? And,
yeah.
And then, so did your body do anything?
Yeah, like a couple of days later, I just got my period.
Okay, you know? So it could have been that you didn't get pregnant.
No, I mean it's to prevent you from getting pregnant. It's Plan B is not an abortion pill. Plan B is like is emergency birth control, and so like if you can take it right after you have sex,
and
if
it
you break a condom or something, and it prevents conception, so it like makes it so that the sperm doesn't implant with the egg, and that's what I tried to do. It was like, you know, within the same day I took it.
I honestly didn't know that you can do that. I kind of think that's great.
Yeah, I'm not right? sticking
with it. It doesn't work in 100% of cases, but it's like an emergency measure.
That's actually very good to note. Thank you very much. Yeah.
I'm scared that's out there. Is that okay to say? But all right. Let me mention this. Speaking of sex, if I may. Sleep number beds. Oh, yes. Is it fun to fucking dirt and get that stuff up your coot chute? I guess so, if you're being freaky. But I'll tell you what, you want to feel it nice, sleep number beds. Guess what else you get from them? A good night's sleep. You can set the firmness and softness of your bed. I'm a 35, for example.
Now, do you have to stay at a 35?
Nope.
What if you want to be a 45 tomorrow?
I change it to 45.
What if you want to be an 85?
Change it to 85 right there on my remote. I don't have to call in mechanics.
What if your wife is not an 85 and you're feeling 85?
I'm the man of the house. Too bad. No. Oh. No, no, no. Oh. She can change her side of the bed to whatever number she wants.
It seems like you bought two beds.
We didn't though.
Oh my God.
It's only one bed. And Sleep IQ technology they have that tells you, oh, maybe last night you didn't sleep so good. Here's how you can adjust it a certain way. They give you a score. 85 last night.
Very nice.
That's very nice. That's very nice. So now I'm going to tell you about Sleep Number 360 Smart Beds. Okay? Like all their beds, Sleep Number 360 Smart Beds lets you choose your ideal firmness and support on each side of the bed, your sleep number setting. Now with new responsive air technology, This bed senses your every move and automatically adjusts to you so you stay sleeping comfortably throughout the night. So now this isn't me going the next day, oh, how can I sleep better? It adjusts as I'm sleeping. Did you know that many of us fall asleep faster if our feet are gently warmed? Well, the Sleep Number 360 smart bed can even pre-warm each side of the bed so it's just right for both of you. Did your bed do that?
Best.
Sleep Number beds cost about the same as traditional mattresses and last twice as long. 91% of owners recommend it.
What kind of math is this? It's crazy.
It's time you met the bed that could only come from Sleep Number, and that's the only place you'll find it. The Sleep Number 360 smart bed. Find one exclusively at any of the 550 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Visit sleepnumber.com to find a Sleep Number store near you and ask about 48-month financing. And be sure to tell them that Keith and the girls sent you. Sleep Number, a better way to sleep. I made that part up. But it's true. I wasn't born with a Sleep Number bed. I've had other beds. This one's the king of the crop. That's a GD truth. All right. Here's a sexy story that I read in the paper. An Italian couple like to perform as vampires in a touring show, regularly drink each other's blood to renew their love. Isn't that sweet?
Wait, but they really do it?
Yeah.
Oh.
The man's 30. The girlfriend is 20.
They found each other. Oh, wow. They found.
Now, they don't use fangs or anything like animals. They use syringes.
Ouch.
To draw their blood, then drink it from glass vials as a sign of our bond, like married couples wear rings.
So do they? Is this part of their act? Like, even if it's real, is this part of like the vampire thing?
But they must do it all the time. I remember I heard a story that in my hometown, over this hill, was supposedly a satanic church. And I always thought, you know what, maybe I'm going to go there. And like, it's going to be stupid, the praying to the devil stuff. But I bet they have crazy sex. I bet you got to cut yourself sometimes and give each other blood. But then I bet you're just fucking all over the place. Long story short, I moved to New York and I never looked into it.
You never saw it?
I never saw it.
There was a supposedly group of Satan worshipers that used to practice in the hills by my house. But I don't think it was true. I think it was just a junior high rumor.
Maybe,
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe every small town has that story.
Yeah. Mm.
But yeah, I never visited it. Although the idea, I was raised, you know, my dad was a Catholic priest. I was raised Catholic. And maybe the idea did scare me a little bit because I'm almost embarrassed to say this. When I moved to New York, I'm of age and I'm in the Virgin Record store and they had a CD. It was called like the Satanic Chants. And it was supposedly, you know, legit, meaning it was from Satanic worshipers. And I'm like, I want to buy this and hear this. I don't know how the Virgin Record store got it. That must have been a mistake. And I was too scared to buy it and play it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting how scared we are of this thing?
Now I'd buy special Bose speakers and hear it.
What could it be?
What could it be?
I'll take you. I'll take you and it's going to be so hot. You think you're sweating now.
What if you're like, damn, I'm a record producer and this is good. But I hate to say it.
Hey, somebody said that.
You guys can't keep saying you're satanic and stuff. Like, just be a rock band because it's pretty good.
I think that that's basically the story of Charles Manson's band.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, that like he had some interest from legit music producers when people were like, you gotta kind of tone it down on the cult stuff. And he was like, this is who I am, man.
You know how YouTube comments, when they're not aimed at you, they're hilarious. Well, if you look up any of the Charles Manson songs, you'll see, and there's a lot online, and then read the comments. And it's like, such a shame. So much talent went to waste. God, went to waste. He's so insane, he can't get out of jail. They want to let him out of jail. He's like, I hate your soul. It's like, all right, you can't get out of jail.
Is he in jail? Oh.
Yeah, he's in jail. Yeah. I think he was able to get married or he wasn't able to get, I don't know.
He was able to get married, but I think couldn't see the woman.
Yeah.
In person.
Oh, ever?
I think ever. Mm. I think. But she would run past the jail in flash. The
windows. You know what? For her, it's worth it. So
isn't that something?
I mean, I'm attracted to like shitty guys from time to time, but that's just taking it all too far.
Mm-hmm. But think how good he is in bed.
Well, she has to think about that forever.
Right.
She got to keep doing that just like we do. So maybe we're married to him.
Just imagine how good I am, Jack.
Oh my God.
I was reading your tweets. It's like a diary of sorts.
Who, me?
My tweets?
Your tweets, Kate. Kendra, I know all about Kendra.
Come on.
It's too much. You know? But Kate wrote, imagine if Trump's base had as much compassion for kids without health insurance as they do for Barron. Hashtag Kathy Griffin.
Yeah.
Is it, I was saying this the other day, is it Kathy, now this is in hindsight, but is it Kathy's fault that she apologized?
Well, I don't think that she needed to apologize. I mean, to me, the debate about the First Amendment has become this debate about, you know, should we, is it cool if people say racist stuff on TV and can advertisers pull out? And, right. you know, like, is it okay if people get mad at them on social media? And like, all of that stuff has nothing to do with the First Amendment. Like, what the First Amendment actually is supposed to protect you from is being arrested, you know, having like a legal penalties, especially for speaking out against the government, you know, which is, I think, what Kathy Griffin did. I mean, I think that it was pretty clear that it was satire, you know, her quote and stuff like that. And now she's being investigated by the Secret Service. And
yeah, nobody is mentioning.
The president is tweeting better. And, you know, I think that you can think that the joke is funny or not, but right. somebody, you know, having a legal action against them because of this, their political expression right. feels like it is a First Amendment issue to
when
me.
When he
in a purer way than like something like Bill Maher.
You when know? He right. didn't have legal action against him, when he was like, go ahead and punch him in the face, I'll yeah. pay your legal fees.
Yeah. And I mean, and that is like a really kind of direct threat. Like mm-hmm. that's, you know, inciting violence.
He's saying, punch him in the face, yeah. I will pay the fees.
But I didn't think that Kathy Griffin was attempting to incite violence. I certainly didn't take it that way. And I really doubt that the people claiming that, you know, they took it that way or even right. telling the truth.
Well, yeah, I can't say I'm not surprised that the picture goes viral of her holding Trump's head. And what doesn't go along with it is what you're saying. The joke about, I call this blood's coming from wherever. Making yeah. fun of Trump, talking about Megyn Kelly's period, giving him a hard time during the debates. Of course, just the picture's going to spread. But then, this is the thing. Then she apologizes. And that shows the weakness that everybody jumped on.
No, I think that shows how aggressive she's getting some shit. I think yeah, it shows it's beyond a person who is known for accepting that aggression, for knowing that it's going to happen, and for still saying and doing the stuff that she does over and over and over again. I think it shows how much the other side was coming at her and how scared she really was.
Yeah, I think that 20,000 people threatening to murder you or something, whatever was probably happening on Twitter is probably pretty terrifying.
But it goes from the apology, from being scared, to the next day, well, you messed with the wrong redhead.
Oh, is that what she said?
Yeah, so is that still out of fear?
I mean, she's a human being. I'm sure she's having an emotional process right. with it, you know? I've definitely seen a variety of comics get death threats. It's usually female comics, but sometimes men. And, you know, it fucks people up when you have people like threatening violence towards you and stuff. It's right. not like because someone is famous that they're immune to having an emotional experience in regard to someone threatening their life.
You alluded to Bill Maher saying the N-word on Real Time. Should HBO punish him?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, I hate that the debate over like what is free speech or not, it has become like, you know, is it okay to say this like asinine racist shit, you know? And it's like, on the one hand, I think that almost anybody else besides Bill Maher would definitely lose their job in that situation. And I don't think that, you know, I don't think that, I mean, if it was like Kathy Griffin who did that, for example, I mean, she already was fired from her position at CNN. And it's just, but on the other hand, you know, if they do fire him, then he'll be like some kind of like martyr to these jerks. And you maybe it'll make things worse. I mean, you know, he's done a lot of things that I think are like, you know, but it's like, I don't know if I have a strong opinion about whether or not he should lose his job over it, because there's so much negative either way.
People love
to
threaten jobs.
I just wish he didn't do it.
Mm. People loved for everybody saying how hard it is to get jobs in America. They love seeing people lose them.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is all right. Like,
well, in this case, I think it's, you want them to lose the platform that they have to say other shitty things. Like
in this situation, I can say, I think what he did was really wrong, and I think it's horrible. And yes, I would personally like for somebody who did that on TV, whether it's Bill Maher or someone else, to not have their platform anymore. But like, I'm a big fan of this author called named Laura Kipnis, and she's a professor at Northwestern. And she was her school made a policy that professors can't date students, not just students in their class, any students. And right. She wrote in her, I think in her school's journal, or maybe it was a newspaper, like, hey, you know, we can't really regulate this. Like these students, like if they're adults, you know, and they want to date a professor and a professor wants to date them, like we can't, you know, make rules against consenting adults consenting to do things with each other. And people were like protesting outside of her office with mattresses, and she like had a Title IX hearing like over whether or not she should lose her job for this. And like,
oh wow.
So
I would think that's a decent, I mean,
yeah, I thought it was a decent argument too, but it's like, it does go too far. I mean, it's like, I don't want anybody to say anything shitty, but it's like, I don't know. It's hard. You know,
what side are you taking? I'm confused.
I think I'm on the side of like, people just shouldn't say horrible things, because then it puts us in this position where it's like, yeah, like Bill Maher should probably get fired. Like what he said is pretty egregious, but then like, is that going to be used as a justification to fire somebody who said something less egregious in the future? Yeah, it will. And I don't want to see that happen. So I don't know. It's a complicated issue.
All right. I'll let him keep his job for now and we'll think on it.
Yeah.
All right. Tough but fair.
Right. This made the news. It is a local Flint official, and he's with the Genesee County Land Bank, suggested that the root causes of the Flint water crisis was that black people don't pay their bills, and there's not an audio recording of it. He says it a little different, of course. He is Phil Starr, the sales manager for the Genesee County Land Bank. This is May 26th during a conversation with environmental activist and independent journalist Chelsea Lyons in Flint. So he's saying this to a journalist, thinking it's okay, explaining what's going on in Flint.
Well, Flint has the same problems as Detroit. Fucking niggers don't pay their bills.
Jesus.
Deal with them.
He's that comfortable.
And he's a politician?
Yes.
Holy shit.
Oh my God.
To a journalist.
And by the way, when you put these, am I wrong about this? When you put these hidden videos on YouTube.
Was it hidden?
It's you wouldn't know that it's on video. It's like somebody has the phone doing it. But he was talking to a reporter. I don't know if he said off the record ahead of time. But anyway, you put this on YouTube. Don't bleep it. Right? Shouldn't you hear it? It shocks you more?
I think because people don't want to hear it. There's like hey, don't worry, you won't have to hear this, but you still can get the information.
I know, but it's more shocking when you hear it.
I know, like he should take credit for that because he fucking said it type thing.
That too, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Understand the gravity of the situation. Well, you know, there's a reason. You know,
but then that's the argument to say it to begin with on all levels.
If I said Bill Maher said the N-word, that's something. If I play like I did the other day, Bill Maher saying the N-word, you get the gravity of the situation.
I know. I just feel like
I'm just trying to talk to the hidden camera takers out there. And that's, you know, you took the time. You know, put a fake name.
There could be a Keith version and a regular version.
Yes. Thank you. All right. So, Kathy Griffin, what do we think?
I think they should just leave her alone.
Leave her alone.
Yeah.
Leave her alone. You just let her talk about the time she snuck into Oprah's house.
Yeah. I didn't think it was the greatest joke in the world, but I don't think it deserves what she's getting for it.
Squatty Potty, of course, has...
the love of my life, yes.
Well, they say Kathy Griffin, though she's not a spokesperson, she has done an ad for us, and we pulled the ad. They are not Squatty Potty material, even though, if you remember, we have a commercial that's hilarious online that alludes that children are eating the poop of unicorns.
Oh, I saw that. It grossed me out.
Oh, I loved it.
It's so disgusting. And it's like a 6-minute commercial. And
yeah, it's really gross.
It's so disgusting. And I really like soft serve ice cream. So that really
I haven't been able to eat soft serve ice cream since I saw that commercial.
And that's a shame. And you know what? And the thing is what's funny is a Squatty Potty is for shitting.
Right.
But that joke was too shitty.
We're, as a poop company, we have standards.
Right. If you're going to wipe your ass, use a Squatty Potty. There's less wiping.
We don't just lift your legs so that your poop comes out smoother. We try to lift people up. And to put down our president.
Oh, man. Squatty Potty. I'm out here. I could be your next spokesperson. I have convinced so many people to put this in
their
home.
It's so infuriating and hypocritical, too, because it's like he has said so much disgusting, horrible stuff. And he's threatened people with violence and he's just said such disgusting things, and he never gets in trouble for any of it. You know?
Here's the lesson. If you bought a Squatty Potty because I said so, you should tweet at me and at Squatty Potty. Okay. That's a lot, you know. We already know Trump is saying all the most horrible things in the world.
But I'm using my my foot lifter to take a dump. And I got to be reminded about the bloody head of the President of the United States of America. Can I just be in my moment?
That helps you poo.
It's covered a lot of interesting ground. Yeah.
All right. Now, Kate, I want to tell people about your website, man.
Okay, sure.
All right. Kate Willett, WILLETT.com. I say go there. See what's doing. Where's she going to be? Is she performing with clothes on? This kind of thing.
Almost always.
Almost always, but sometimes we have to experiment, right?
Try to catch her on that 0.1% of her career that already happened.
0.01.
You should be encouraging people to follow me. I'm the one who finds all these naked people.
It's kind of, but now I understand there's all shapes and sizes at this naked show. But for a second, if somebody invited me, I would be excited. I'd be like, yeah, not just because it's a regular show, but it's like, all right.
All right, who's the booker?
You didn't think I'd make the audience vomit. Okay. It's got to feel good a little bit. You don't have to say. At Kate Willett is the tweet account, and she'll tackle social issues.
Yeah.
You can't go out there just chopping off heads and being threatened and think you're not going to get a Kate opinion. Watch out, right? Watch out. You've been warned. You're on notice, everybody. That's right. Get the album Glass Gutter. It is available on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, Audible. Quite frankly, there's no excuse. And let me tell you about these. Yes, a year from now, she'll be humiliated if you bring up anything on the album. But right now, it's out there, and she tells it like it is. So hear it.
Yeah, that is funny. I'm like, I did say that. You know, I did put it on TV, but... Why are you bringing it up now, man?
We're over private. That, right? Yeah. We're over my orgy, right? Yeah.
It was sex in an all-orgy tent in Burning Man. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody, thank you. And that's it. I'll tell you what. I hope you have a great day. And I hope tomorrow you have a great morning.
That's so nice of you.
Thank you, everybody. KateAndTheGirl.com.